My text, motto text for this year, is found in the book of Haggai at the chapter 2 and at the verse 19. From this day will I bless you. God and His blessing are eternally united. The name blessed is part of the name of God Himself. He is called the blessed God. Romans 1 and 25, the Creator who is blessed forever. Romans 9 and verse 5. God blessed forever. 1 Timothy 1:11. The glorious gospel of the blessed God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 15 and 16. The blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. The blessed God has demonstrated His wisdom and His power to bless His people. My text is one of great glory and great power. It states, first of all, that natural blessing cannot bless us until their season has come. For example, when there is no seed in the barn, there is no blessing. When there is no fruit from the vine, there is no blessing. When the figs are not yet grown, there is no blessing. When the pomegranate is not ready for pulling, there is no blessing. When the olive tree is not ready, there is no oil or fruit. Yet the day has come, God says, from this day I will bless you forever. Now, the day in Scripture has many meanings. It doesn't always mean a day of 24 hours period of time in which our calendars are measured up. A study of the days of Scripture is most beneficial and instructive. The word day is used for a special period of time. It is also used for the lifetime of a person. It is also used for the breakup of historical times and periods. The Lord Jesus Christ, please note, in the Bible has three special titles, and they are all titles containing the word day. He is called, first of all, the Day Spring, Job 28:12. The Day Spring is the first streak of daylight of a new day. Day chapter 2, chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter 1:19. Christ is called the day star. Christ is the light of dawn, heralded by the morning star. Revelation 2:28 and 22:16. It is interesting that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, commences with calling Christ the morning star. And it finishes in Revelation 22:16 as calling him the morning star. So Christ is the day spring. Christ is the day star. But Christ is also the day's man. Job 9 and verse 33. This is an old English word derived from day in the specific sense of a day when the hour of trial has come. The day's man, Job tells us, can lay his hand equally on each of the contestants. Such a mediator we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Having set the scene, we are directed to the days of blessing available for us both to receive the blessing and to enjoy the blessing. Hence we have this great text, from this day I will bless you. I want to draw your attention this morning to the periods described as days. The days that begin, continue, and conclude, but they have all extra special blessings. And we can pick out these days, and we can say, from this day, God will bless us. The first day is the great eternal day. Away before there was any creation, when God dwelt in the loneliness and isolation of himself, there was what the Puritans called the old eternity. It preceded creation. It was a time before the hills in order stood, or earth received its freedom. It's part of God's eternal day. In that day, God planned his creation. This was eternity's day. It was the day of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. From this day, the elect of God was chosen and set aside in God's mind and purpose for the blessing of salvation. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. There were no onlookers in that eternity day. You say, were there no angels there? No. Angels were created after that, for they were created to be ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. Before God made an angel, he had chosen you to be his child. You just think of the staggering truth that that is. The redeemed people of God were the first on the triune heart of God. Up in that great council chamber, in the grand isolation of the everlasting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they joined to dig the well of salvation for all the chosen people of God. Samuel Medley, the songster of grace, wrote well when he penned these words: O thou eternal, glorious God, thy gracious presence now afford to all our souls, thine influence bring, while of eternity we sing. Eternity, stupendous theme, compared herewith our whole life's dream. Eternity, O awful sound, a deep where our whole thoughts are drowned. Eternity, the dread abode and habitation of our God. His glory fills the vast expanse beyond the reach of mortal sense. But an eternity there is of endless woe or joyful bliss. And swift as time fulfills its round, we to eternity are bound. And is eternity so near? And must we all, and soon be there, prepare our souls, O blessed God, to meet our long, our last abode? When we occupy the great domain of eternity to come in heaven, we will all be over-occupied that in the old eternity God deigned to save a people, a chosen people, an elected people, and to say to them from this day, this eternal day, I will bless you. In the eternity to come, we will really learn what God did on that truthfully momentous day, the day of eternity. But we come from the day of eternity to the second day, which is the day of the new birth, the new birthday. What a day this is, the birthday of the saints of God. We come to enjoy natural life by a natural birth. We can only enjoy spiritual life by a spiritual birth. There is no other way. Christ's message is crystal clear. Ye must be born again. That cannot be changed. That cannot be diluted. That cannot be altered. Nothing can take our dead souls out of the state of death but the new birth. It makes but little difference whether a man give up the kingdom of heaven altogether or attempts to enter it without being born again. In either case, he continues to be dead in trespasses and in sin. The difference is that of a corpse with all the offensive accompaniment of death upon it, and that of a dead man who has been embalmed and tried to make nice looking in the coffin. In the one case, he lies in acknowledged lifelessness. In the other, there is a camouflaged job being done to make him to appear in life when he is in death. But alas, when we approach to the coffin, we find that it is the body of a mummy that is well there, just as much as a man newly slain. But we do not linger there, for we have been told from this day, I will bless you. The day you were born again, God started to bless you. He gave you life, eternal life, to enjoy his blessing. And from that day there flowed a stream from God's great heart of love. It was a stream of blessing. The third day is redemption's day. When we are redeemed, God said, from this day, I will bless you. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, said this: an angel came and spoke to the keeper of eternity's prison, one called Death, and said to him, let that captive go free. Death was sitting on his throne of skulls, with a huge iron key at his girdle of iron, and he laughed a hideous laugh, and said, aha, thousands and thousands of the race of Adam have passed the portals of this prison house, but none of them have been delivered. And raising his key, grim death said, that key has been once turned in its wards of destiny, and no mortal power can ever turn it back again and draw the bolts from the eternal prison house. But the angel showed death heaven's own warrant, and death turned pale. The angel grasped the key, unlocked the prison door, and stepped in. There slept the royal captive, the divine hostage. And the angel said, arise, thou sleeper, put off thy garments of death, shake thyself from the dust, and put on the beautiful garments. And the mighty Lord Jesus Christ arose. He unwound the napkin and laid it by itself. He took off his grave clothes. He laid them by themselves to show he was in no hurry, that all of this was done legally and therefore orderly. He did not dash his prison walls aside to come in, but he came out by the legal progress, just as he had entered in. He seemed to express himself as Paul did when he said, no, verily, let them come themselves and fetch me out. So was our master set at liberty by heaven's own officer who came from heaven to give him that liberty. I think it was the great hymn writer Hart who said, if Jesus never had paid the debt, he never had been at freedom set. But because he was set at liberty, that is God's proof that he has done all that was necessary to save our souls. Thou Lamb of God, I see thee rising from the tomb in splendor ineffable, dazzling the eyes of the guards and making them flee away in terror. And when I see thee risen from the dead, I see myself accepted by a thrice holy God, and all of thy dying, redeemed people fully delivered as well. Only the power of Christ's redemption can cause you to hear and experience these words. From this redemption's day, I will bless you. The fourth day is surrender day. When we surrender to God, we hear these glorious words, I will bless you. From this day, I will bless you. The Lord Jesus demands total and absolute surrender. Until you experience total, final, and absolute surrender to him, you'll never hear these words, from this day I will bless you. Come with me to the cross. Listen to that thief kneeled on the right side of the Son of God. A moment before, he has joined with his evil cohort in cursing the Lord Jesus. Now, he is changed miraculously. Why? Because surrender's day had dawned, and the sinner had yielded and given up all enmity to Christ. The circumstances of this man, the dying thief, was most peculiar. He is the very last we would think likely of becoming a Christian at such a time. He had to believe that, though in his own case and in that of his companion, his judgment had been right in their condemnation. Yet in the case of Christ, the Jews and Gentile rulers were sinfully wrong. Christ was without stain. Christ was without sin. Christ had never broken the law. But this man hanging beside him had broken the law. But to him, Christ said these words. When he had prayed the prayer, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Surrender day had come to that poor sinner. But what a day it was! Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The greatest blessing is to be with the Lord. It's the presence of God that makes the feast. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. The fifth day is life's day. When we receive Christ's life, then we enter into the enjoyment of Christ's joy. Christ is the life. The dying thief was in the state of spiritual death. But Christ spoke the word to him, and quick as a flash, On that cross, he received everlasting life. Thou shalt be with me. Remember, no one ever died in the presence of the risen, exalted Lord. Even when Christ walked on earth, any time a dead body was brought beside the living Christ, that dead body arose from the dead. Christ had three resurrections mentioned in his ministry. The first was the daughter of Jairus, the Roman ruler. But when Christ stood at the bed where she lay, death had to give up its prey to Jesus Christ. You can't die when Jesus is around. You'll always live when the Prince of Life is there. And what about that other person? Lazarus? Do you remember him? Nothing happened when Christ stood at his sepulchre until the stone was taken away. And when the stone was taken away, the living Christ was facing the dead Lazarus. But the dead Lazarus couldn't be dead. He had to live. And he walked out. And the Lord said, take the grave clothes off him. Don't put grave clothes on a living person. You only put grave clothes on a dead person. Let him out. And then, of course, there was a widow woman one day. And she was carrying the remains of her son out to be buried. But no funeral procession ever gets past the Son of God. And when Jesus Christ came and confronted that dead boy, he arose from the dead. Today thou shalt be with me. From this day I will bless you. I'll bless you with everlasting life. The sixth day is death's day. The day of our own life is hastening like a shot arrow to drink our blood. But we need not fear. If God gives you life or death, then all is well. Reject the death of sin, the death of self, and the death of Satan. Embrace the life that's hid with Christ and God. And miraculously, your death day will be changed into everlasting life. Then from death's day, you will hear those glorious words. From this day, I will bless you. The seventh day is heaven's day. Yes, you can be as sure of heaven as if you were already there. God has prepared for you the occupation of heaven forevermore. I often imagined my first day in heaven and meeting the people I knew when I was on earth. And they're all changed. Every one of them's good looking. That's a miracle. Every one of them. You know why? Because they're all like Jesus. They shall be like him, for they shall see him as he is. Heaven's day can be yours, dear sinner friend. For Christ took your hell's day and died for you. It has been well said, as a dead man cannot inherit anything, no more can a dead soul inherit the kingdom of God. He must be born again. Heaven's gates are wide enough to admit all the sinners that come to enter. But they're too narrow for any of their sins to enter with them. Sinners can get into heaven, but sin can't get into heaven. The gates of heaven are shut to religious workers and religious works, but they're wide open to all that believe. They're shut to those with money in their hands, but they're open to poor, penniless souls that have nothing to give for their salvation. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thyself, O Christ, I cling. When you give up earth's day, it's the start of heaven. For this day, I will bless you. If you're in this congregation this morning, and you're unconverted and unsaved and unpardoned, this day can be the day that the blessing can start. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, and the burden of my heart rolled away. I say to you, dear sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. From this day, God will bless you with his blessing that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. Write it in our heart. And from this day, start blessing us with the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. And the people of God said, Amen.